Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Having strong-minded, outspoken kids can challenge even the most talented parents. Well, it's a common theme, and today we're going to talk about it. Today's Healthy Family Connections podcast, episode number 13, is titled, How to Raise a Strong-Minded Child. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and that's me. I'm your host, Neil D. Brown. And like you just heard, today we're talking about raising outspoken, independent kids. It's an important question, and it comes from Jaziri of San Jose, California. And please know this is an educational podcast to give you great strategies for achieving your dream of a healthy and happy family. It's not a substitute for psychotherapy when you need it. Well, Jaziri asks, what are appropriate and effective methods of discipline for outspoken, independent, and highly intelligent 6 to 8 year olds? Thanks for your question, Jaziri. And before we look for an answer, let's examine your question, because the questions we ask will lead us in certain directions looking for answers. Let me give you an example. If a kid goes to a therapist and the insurance company asks the question, what's the diagnosis? When they get an answer, they're next going to expect the therapist to provide a treatment plan that fits the diagnosis. It's going to make everyone involved think about the kid as having an illness that needs treatment. Once that way of thinking is established, it can keep the therapist and others from thinking that perhaps the kid's behavior is a reasonable response to unreasonable circumstances. And perhaps the circumstances are what needs changing. So making sure we're asking the right question is critical. Now, you ask about discipline for outspoken, independent, highly intelligent kids. When I hear the word discipline, I think of lining up and doing as you're told. I think of discipline as squashing individuality and forcing someone to behave a certain way. Now, I'm by no means implying that you want to squash your child's individuality, Jaziri. Your question actually is about how to discipline your child in a way that won't squash his or her nature, and that's fabulous. But what happens if I frame the question a little differently? How about if we ask the question, how can we parent our outspoken, independent, and highly intelligent kids so that they'll learn to be respectful and channel their energy in successful ways? Now, that way of formulating the question inclines us to be more process-oriented. The word discipline, to me anyway, implies a fixed point. I behaved or I didn't behave, good or bad. If we frame the question in terms of learning and growing, now we can see our kids as able to fail and learn, as well as to succeed and learn. Both valuable parts of life experience. It's a process. Now, if your child has these wonderful qualities, I'm guessing that it's in part their nature, and in part because you've nurtured and enjoyed those qualities. So congratulations, you're supporting your child and having their own voice. And because you're asking about discipline, I'm guessing there are times when he or she doesn't cooperate. And as we all know, when our kids don't cooperate, it slows everything down, and it can be hard to get from point A to point B, and often we don't have much wiggle room with respect to time. So let's say cooperation is a skill we want your fabulous child to get better at. It will be good to have a conversation, an ongoing conversation, actually, about the skill of cooperation, why it's important, what the benefit is to them, and what the benefit is to others, and why. Then we could ask them about how they could get better at it, what makes that skill difficult, and how they might want to deal with those difficulties. Now, be sure to remind them of other skills they learned and how it took practice, but they conquered them. Remind your child of their great attributes for learning and growing. Cooperation is just one of the skills to learn and conquer. Let's remember that she isn't going to get it right every time, especially since she's pretty independently minded and she's going to have her own ideas about what it is that she thinks is important. So keep the conversation going about how good a quality it is that she has her own ideas and how to benefit from that quality and not let it get in the way of other important skills like cooperation. Now, in order for them to learn, there needs to be feedback and accountability. Unlike skateboarding or shooting baskets, for instance, where there's constant feedback, cooperation and respect is going to require parental feedback and then often accountability. Keep the feedback in a positive tone. Start after an event, you can start by asking your child how well they think they did. Ask this question when they do well as when they do not so well. That way, every time you ask the question, it won't be a hidden message that they screwed up. Let it be an honest self-evaluation. Look at the parts of what they did that went well and the parts that needed improvement and why, and help them make a plan for it next time. Be cautious about offering rewards for cooperative behavior or punishment for uncooperative behavior. If accountability beyond the discussion is in order, and it well might be, let the reward be a privilege they earn rather than a reward you're giving out. Things kids earn allow them to feel pride in themselves, whereas rewards mean they pleased you. Also, kids do best when they're praised for their effort rather than a result. We want kids who are willing to challenge themselves without fear of failure. It's going to be very easy to get into control battles with strong-minded kids. And if we go down that rabbit hole, then we have another problem to deal with. So best to celebrate our kids' independent nature and allow the skills of cooperation and respect, for instance, to be just part of the process of their learning and growing. Also important for these kids is to have clear avenues for them to express themselves where they can be challenged and achieve their areas of interest and natural talent. I'm thinking of, for instance, Simone Biles. Her grandparents who raised her must have had a heck of a challenge. I remember hearing that she never stood still, was constantly bouncing off and on the furniture, and she was more than a handful. So the gym was a perfect place for her to express her nature, and that kept her grandparents from struggling against her very nature. So let's all of us remember that we're all learning and growing, and our kids are too. If they demonstrate behaviors that aren't acceptable, we can be specific, identify the skill we want them to learn, and then help them learn it. Remember, it's a process, and failure is just part of the learning process. If we avoid a battle of wills, kids will learn more quickly and be ready for the next challenge they'll face. Well, thanks for being with me today. I thoroughly enjoyed answering Jaziri's question today, so don't be shy. I'd love to answer your questions too. And please remember, take care of yourself. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. See you soon. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.